The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sports Yak.
Oh my heavens!
One host knows sports.
And who's right there?
The other doesn't know sports, but somehow they meet in the middle. Corey Mann.
Get your big butt out of here!
And Indiana Sports Broadcast Hall of Famer.
This one will be relived.
Chuck Freebie.
Forever!
Do you like sports? Because we like sports. Let's talk about sports. It's Sports Yak. Sports Yak. It's Sports Yak.
How are you?
Woo!
Woo!
Let me tell you about it. Come on, come on.
Can I shake your head? The man, myth, and the legend. Here he stands, Corey Mann. Hey, buddy.
That was beautiful on so many levels. So many levels.
How you doing?
I'm so great. How are you?
I'm so great. It's good to see your face and hear your voice.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
I love you so much. I've got so many questions.
Oh, my goodness.
That Corey. I had to write them down for a roadmap, and I want to milk our time together as much as I can. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Who's mom and dad?
I got an awesome mom and dad. My mom is Debbie. She will listen to your life story and remember it and then tell all her kids about it because she loves you and she'll pray for you and she will cook you food. And she loves life and she has ADD and she's just, our life was never boring at home. And my dad is Brown Bannister, a.k.a. Beige Handrail, which is what my high school friends called him. And he is an amazing father, one of the most humble people I've ever met before, a quiet presence of peace who has wisdom that he doesn't think that he has. But sometimes it just spills out of him. So that's my mom and dad.
What does the room look like where all of Dad's trophies are at?
This is crazy, but it's their attic. He has a couple of them around to like hold some books up. It felt like more out of a necessary, but when I tell you that he is humble, I remember being a kid and getting into our attic to look, it was probably Christmas decorations or something. And I found this two or three giant boxes of like gold trophies. And I was like, what are all these birds and record players doing up here? I didn't even know it was like Dove Awards and Grammys.
Pause button here in the podcast for you, the listener. If you don't know the name Brown Bannister, go Google it right now. We'll wait. And then when you come back, we'll pick up where we left off. Who told you you could sing and you believed them?
Oh, I love that. Mom and dad first, always, almost always. And they say that as a kid, I was just like everyone was a role in my musical because I was singing wherever. I mean, we just jumped on here and I'm singing a song about you, just riffing. But songs just come. So they always told me that I could sing. And then they would be like, Ellie, oh, sing this. My mom especially. Ellie, oh, you got to sing this. Sing that song. Sing that thing you were singing the other day. But there was also a high school teacher that I had who was my drama teacher. And we had this thing called Brown Bag Theater, which was really cool. I went to this like private Christian school, CPA, here in Nashville. And it was like on Wednesdays, it was at the church. And so on Wednesdays, they had to do like Wednesday night supper. So they couldn't feed us in the cafeteria. So we had to bring our own lunch. So it was brown bag lunch day. Sometimes you could order pizza and get like a slice of Papa John's or whatever. But she started opening up the rooms, two Bible rooms in our high school, and just would let kids do improv or if you had a song you wanted to sing. So that was the first time that I really sang a song that I wrote in front of other people that wasn't my family, you know? And the first time I ever did that, she pulled me aside. I still remember it, but as a kid, I was like, oh, cool, whatever, great. But I do think that something stuck with me about this. And she just said, Ellie, you just played that song and you had the entire room in the palm of your hand. And she was like, that's a really unique gift. She was like, you have a gift of singing, but you also have a gift of communicating. And I want you to not forget that. And I was like, okay, skipping off to my friends. But it did. I do think something about that sat with me, you know?
Do you remember what the song was?
It was a song that I wrote for my next door neighbor, Jimmy, who had Down syndrome.
You remember how it went?
No, I can barely remember it. The funny thing, it was kind of a talk, like Sheryl Crow talking, singing, you know, storytelling vibe. But the funny thing about Jimmy, you know, like I was so amazed at him and my neighbor growing up, because he was so wonderful to be with. Everything was a delight to him. And I was like, oh, I love you. But most people would be like, oh, you're not, I don't know, like you're not normal or poor thing. And I'm like, no, he knows something we don't know.
With a dad like Brown Bannister, how much does he speak into your album creation?
He is so humble. He would never push his way into anything. And for me, as much as he wants to be involved, I'm like, come on, Dad. It's been so beautiful. And really in this last record, from the moment, I mean, I'm playing him songs, I'm sending him songs as I'm writing them, getting his feedback on that. So he has a ton of input and encouragement. And he was hearing some of the stuff that I was writing for this next record. And he was like, I think you need to be comfortable. Cause I've always said I'm singer-songwriter girl, you know, like the kid at Brown Bag Theater with the guitar, you know, the girl slinging a guitar, singing in the dorm room stairwells of my college. And so he was just like, hey, you are writing some things. So my rule has always been, I have to be able to play it by myself on the guitar if I'm going to record it. And he was like, I think you might need to like let yourself go beyond that. Like, what might happen if you let go of a guitar and sang a song? And I never thought my dad would say that to me. And all of a sudden, because he kind of presented that invitation to me, I was like, oh, that would be really fun. I think I would love that. And so he's been a huge part. He's produced, co-produced all of the records. This one, he's heading up the Lipscomb Department of Music and crushing that. And so he is so slammed right now. So he executive produced this one, but he'll come in for vocals, from everything to vocals, to melody rewrites, to thinking through lyrical things. He's pretty involved and I love it.
What did Dad teach you about the experience of music?
Oh yeah. Okay. So two things. I don't think he was sat down and taught us this, but watching him tell stories of the way, and you know this, Corey, because you're in this line of work, but, and you hear stories like this all the time, but listening to him tell stories of the way a song would intersect with somebody's life at a critical moment to offer peace, joy, hope, sometimes a literal lifeline. You know, people hear a song and they decide to keep breathing. They decide to like live another day, that they can live another day. And so I learned really young that music has the power, is a powerful tool to breathe hope into people and to connect people. And then the second thing I learned about doing music, and this is something he and Mom, this is kind of wild, but they literally were like, you should not just want to do music as your job. Like, which is crazy, but they really were like, it is hard. Like, it's hard. It costs something. You have to leave home a lot. Like, so if you're going to do music, you really, like, do it. Like, go for it. But you, it really needs to feel like a calling on your life, not just, oh, that sounds fun, and oh, that's just what the thing that my dad's in. They very much were like, this is a calling, and it's not an easy one. So if you're going to do it, walk in with your eyes open and with your calling clear. Pretty crazy. So I was like, cool, I'm going to be a teacher. I did not think. I swore that I would never marry a musician. And I was like, I literally got my master's in education. I was an English teacher and sang in class all day long, wrote raps for my kids. Like, I loved teaching, but I literally was like, oh yeah, music. I was not enamored with fame. And I don't know that they handed that to me. I just kind of, as a kid, observed, like, this is hard. It's hard when everybody maybe, I don't know, like, thinks you're amazing and you're just you. As a young kid, I was like, oh, famous is, I don't know. I don't think that's something I want to be. But connecting with people, connecting with people's stories, I'm in for that. So,
my firstborn is, as we record this, smack dab in the middle of transition to teaching program. Already graduated college, but yes. She wants to be a teacher now. One piece of advice that I could pass along. She loves you. You've spoken into her life a couple of times in person. What could I pass along to her as she is on the very front end of stepping into teaching?
That's so good. I can't believe that, Corey. That's crazy. She's so awesome.
I know.
Gosh, teachers are my heroes. Okay, so two things that I'm going to tell her. A, this teaching is a calling. Like, it is, it matters so much, because what she's going to get to do as a teacher is see good things in kids, see giftedness in kids, see character in kids, and call that out of them. Like, that is going to be amazing. And then this is the best piece of advice that I ever got. Most behavioral issues in class have nothing to do with you or what you're doing. And so if you have a kid who is really giving you a hard time, if you can get them outside of the classroom and say, what's going on at home, and just love them and listen to them, it is generally, that's going to go well, because they're going to feel seen and known. And so I know she's going to be so amazing, and she's just going to love them. And just sometimes it takes them a while to believe that you actually care. Depending on the kid. But I taught in pretty, like, underserved urban environments, and so there was usually a lot going on at home that had nothing to do with, they were stressed out a lot of times at home. So
who is worthier? Laughter of a friend, you know, a garden that you walk through slow, the silence where your soul can go. Who is worthier? The warmth of an open fire, celebration of a wedding choir. Who is worthier? In the broken sanctuary light, that I'm surrounded with, the shame that I'm drowning in, the salt in my woundedness. Hey, am I worthier? The pain that I buried in the
tries. Tell me, am I worthy of it?
The new album's called Canyon. In the song Color, am I worthy of the pain that I've buried in the dust of a God who I am scared to trust? Heavy words. Heavy words.
Yeah.
And I'm reading about you being intentional about deep diving into your past. Is it a past you didn't know about? Or is it a past that you remember, but you wanted some answers, some more context? Fill in the blank.
Yeah, great question. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. Hate pain. Hate conflict. I mean, I've just spent so long running from it. And Brené Brown says it like this. She says it's really hard to own the brokenness in our own story, whether that's stuff that we caused or stuff that was put on us. It's really hard to own the brokenness in our own story, but it's a great deal harder to spend our lives running from it. And I spent a lot of my life running from the wounds and the pain in my life. And so I think for me, in the past 2 years, I had acknowledged pain in my story. I had acknowledged wounds via counseling. Huge fan of counseling. It has saved my life, saved my marriage. I'm so grateful. So I've been doing work for a long time. But what I realized about 2 years ago, when I dropped my little girl off at kindergarten, I realized that I had some things that I had never grieved. I had never grieved some of the pain in my story. Mm. And that grief, I think eventually, if we don't actually walk through the process of grief, it ends up coming out sideways. And I started noticing that. And so I had to let myself go back and grieve. But Corey, as I did that, you know, I think doing the thing that you think is going to kill you sometimes, like visiting hard things, that's a hard thing to go back and dig up old wounds and sit with those and just breathe and sometimes just weep. That's hard. But what happened as I did that is I encountered a peace that I didn't anticipate, a love that I didn't anticipate, a sense of belonging and belovedness and being held even in the places where I was falling apart. I encountered the empathy of God. And I think I would have missed it if I hadn't have been brave enough to kind of scale the depths. And I'm really glad that I didn't miss that. And it gives me courage to like lean into other hard things, you know? I mean, I did that personally. And then I think last year there was so much to work through and so much to grieve collectively, globally, nationally. I leaned in, I think because I'd been grieving, allowing myself to grieve and lament, which is something I don't think we're very good at in the church. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why. I know it's in scripture a lot. I know Jesus wept, like, and he knew it was going to happen. Like he wept and he knew he was going to heal Lazarus, you know, but so I know that's an important part of being human. And I think important part of being a person of faith. But because I had practiced that personally, I think as we, in the wake of George Floyd, in the wake of so much of the racial tension and pain in our country, even within the church, with all that stuff, I think I was able to enter into like lamenting and grieving that in a way and listening more intentionally to other people who've had different experiences than me and lament with them in a way that I haven't ever been before.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're married to a rock star by the name of Drew Holcomb.
He is a rock star. He totally is.
Go back to episode 58 of this podcast where he gave me 30 minutes of his time. May I please tell you my Drew Holcomb pandemic story?
Yes, please. I would love it.
I'm in a used bookstore last year sometime, and I'm on Instagram flipping through while I'm in line, and I notice that your husband has become big into presidential autographs.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's a fascinating something to be into. I look up on the shelf, and my eye catches an autographed Jimmy Carter book. I still have your husband's number. Hey, does Jimmy Carter land on this whole presidential autograph thing? Fast forward, I walk out to my car. My wife's waiting for me. She goes, what just happened in that store? And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, money just popped up on my Venmo from Drew Holcomb.
Oh, Corey. It's so fun because I was in the room with him when this happened. He's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, yes, Corey. He's so awesome. And I was like, what? And he was like, he found this Jimmy Carter book for me. I mean, so I was on the other side of that text, listening to him verbally process and send the money your way. That's so fun.
I will say right now, that blessed me that was his reaction, as opposed to, look at this imbecile in Indiana on the phone with the thing.
Corey,
I love that.
The Holcomb's love us some Corey Mann.
Oh.
We love it. It is always a delight to hear from you.
Please tell him I said hello, and anytime he wants to drop a new album, we're all ready.
Okay, I'll tell him. He's working on it. Ooh, he's writing some good ones.
Speaking
of new album. He actually wrote me a song the other day.
Tell me more.
I was on a road trip. Yeah, he wrote me a song. It's awesome. And he sent it to me, and I was on a road trip. I was in Yellowstone Park with my sister and our old nanny, driving out to Portland. So just taking like a little adventure vacation vibe. And so I couldn't download it in Yellowstone. It wouldn't like click because the service was bad. And then we drove, 8 hours to Boise, however far it is to Boise, Idaho. Got there at 3 a.m. and I was driving. So by the time I got there, I just like bleary-eyed walked into the hotel. He sends me a text the next morning. He's like, hey, remind me to not send you awesome songs that I write about you anymore. Because I had texted him back like, can't wait to listen, babes. Thanks so much. And then didn't listen for 18 hours. And he's very dry humor. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. And then I listened to it and I cried. And because it's a great song. It's called Green Light.
Fallen rain. There in my deepest ache, you whispering that the cracks of my broken heart will let you in. There's a river running through my deepest sorrow. There's a river running through my deepest pain. There's a river running through every dream that never came true. There's a river running through. I'm a canyon, I'm a canyon. There's a river running through.
I'm a canyon, I'm a canyon. Speaking of new albums, Canyon, congratulations. I've been spending some time with it. What goes into the decision of naming a record?
Great question. It feels like, for me, it usually starts with a song. Just where you're like, oh, this is sort of the message. For me, it's very much about what do I want to say. And so my last record was Red Sea Road, and that song, the heartbeat of that song was it. But the Canyon was literally just what goes into naming this record. I took a trip to the Grand Canyon, and it changed my life. And I was like, Corey, I'd written a whole other record before this about this kind of personal journey of grief and sorrow and healing. And so I had written probably 35 songs for a record that I thought was going to be called Daughter. And I was going to write this whole record about identity. And I was loving it. We were like in pre-production, getting ready to go. In the midst of all of that happening, EF4 tornado hits Nashville. COVID hits a week later. racial tension, political division, you know, so much sorrow and loss. And then when the numbers were low, we went to the Grand Canyon. And I left that trip. I couldn't shake the Grand Canyon for a million reasons, and shoved a pile of 35 songs off my desk. And I was like, I'm making a record and it's going to be called Canyon. And wrote all the songs. Because it's such a beautiful image to me of what we've all walked through, of what being human is.
Like, if I just sat down and listened to the new record and just listened, not quite leaning in yet to what you're saying, how important is sonic experience to you?
Yeah, like a sonic landscape. You mean, yeah, it's interesting. I am like, kind of like we said before, singer-songwriter girl, you know, like I feel like I'm one of the last songwriters in Nashville that they're like, hey, can you send a demo? And it's just like me and my guitar and a voice memo, or me without even a guitar and a voice memo. They're like, ah, that's not a demo. I'm like, well, it is to me, you know? So I'm like, as a person who can be very bare bones about a sonic landscape per se, as I've started listening to music and realizing that there are certain songs that make me want to run fast or move in a way, I started wanting to explore that. And so I didn't want to compromise the content because I love lyric, I love melody, but I did want to create, I wanted this record to sound sonically like rebuilding in the wake of a storm. I wanted it to sound like community coming together. And so then I'm like, and if it could sound like you're on a river and it's like chill sometimes, it's just good and the sun is beating down. This is how I describe sonic landscape. So 0% music, like musical terms, mostly experience. And I'm like, but then you like hit some rapids and it's awesome. And then you see an eagle and you're like, that's the most amazing thing ever. So, and then the stars come out at night and it's like dark and it's cool and you're around the fire. That's what I want it to sound like. And Kason, my producer, was so amazing. It was a great thing working with him because he did Need to Breathe. Well, they made two records last year. So he did Out of Body, their Out of Body record, and Drew and I sang on that. And then he made Drew's record, Dragons. And he kind of stretched Drew. We're both kind of singer-songwriter Americana vibes. And he stretched Drew to this kind of new territory that I just loved. And it felt, I don't know, it felt like a party. And so I was like, what if I made a record that sounded like an invitation? I don't know. And so he took all of those images and he was like, I got it. And then made what I love so much. And I've never made anything that sounds quite like this, but I'm so happy.
I was taking notes during listening to the record, and correct me if I'm wrong, is there a song, is it Brand New Day? Brand New Days?
Yes.
We all fall down, we get banged up, but the stars show how love heals us. Don't you look back, lift your head up, shake the dust off, tell me what love's made of. I can't hear you, I can't hear you. Breath in our lungs, beat in our hearts, it's a brand new day.
Brand new day. Yeah.
That sounds like I'm building a new house. There's a march quality to it, and it makes sense to me now. Post tornado, you've got to rebuild, and it feels like something I'd be listening to while I'm working with my Habitat for Humanity buddies doing it. I mean, it makes sense, complete sense.
Good for you. That just made my, I literally was like, I want it to sound like hammers nailing new shingles on a roof at 11 p.m. because that's what it sounded like in our neighborhood for months and months after the tornado hit. And it was such an encouraging, beautiful sound to me, you know? So that's awesome.
With what you've done with previous records and then this record, a two-part question. I don't want to ever do that again when I'm making this new record. Or make absolutely sure I do this again when I'm making the new record. From what you've learned previously, something you'd stay away from, like that was not a good experience, or I learned this from the first two, I've got to make sure I do it again.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so I learned I'm always learning. That's part of what's cool about being alive. We always get to learn if we just stay curious. But I learned to, I am learning, I'm in the process in general of learning to trust my gut with something. And so I never want to like shut things down because I do have this sort of insatiable curiosity. So I'm really open to other people's input. And so if Kaysen would push me on something, he'd be like, I think we need to do this. I'd be like, huh, I don't know. Okay, let's see. But I've learned in the studio process, it is so, if I have a really strong gut reaction to something, like I don't like the way it sounds, or I really think we need to change the key of the song, it is better to communicate gut on the front end rather than in mixing and mastering. I'm like, oh, dang, I felt this from the very beginning and now we have to go back and fix it and it's more expensive. So I just am learning to trust my gut and speak out like what it is that that gut is. Even if it's wrong, like to go ahead and share that earlier than not. So that's something that I won't do, is like hold in the gut reaction. Like I'll go ahead and probably share that next time I make a record earlier, because I think it'll mainly save everybody time. And then something that I will absolutely do again, I have so many incredibly talented friends, and I got to write with some of my heroes. And so I think I was always before, I don't know, like, oh, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to ask them. And for whatever reason, maybe it's just doing, I don't know, like counseling work, feeling like more healed and more whole. I'm like, it's okay if they say no, but it's definitely going to be no if I don't ask. And so because I was pretty bold to just ask to write with literally some of my heroes, I got to, and I had so much fun writing with, and as it turns out, a lot of my heroes are also my friends. So that helps. It was so fun co-writing with people who maybe I would have felt, I don't know, like, I don't know. I'm just going to ask just to see. I will never not ask again.
My mom would always say the worst they can say is no.
Yeah. And it's like, and then it's a no. And that's like, great.
Okay.
That I'd ask to write with Dad Cockrell. I'd ask Dad to write with me. I had done this because he is one of my favorite artists. He's just, I love him. I love his stuff. To Be Loved is one of my favorite records ever of all time. And I think I'd asked him two times before on both other records that I had written. He was the one person that I actually had asked, and he had never said yes. In this record, he said yes, and I wrote Canyon and I Don't Want to Miss It with him. And I'm like, I'm so glad I asked you. That's so fun. And we just had an absolute blast.
Your voice is a burning bush. Your voice is a million things. Your voice is a sound of thunder and hoops. Your voice is hummingbird's wings. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss a thing. So I climbed up in a sycamore tree because I don't want to miss a thing.
My favorite lyric on the new song, I Don't Want to Miss It, is, so I climbed up in a sycamore tree because I don't want to miss a thing. That brought back such wonderful memories of Sunday school, church camp, growing up in a much simpler time, walking away from faith and coming back and knowing exactly what that reference was, that I just I just loved it. It made me go back into the word in that moment just to read it one more time about Zacchaeus and just kind of take it in. So I appreciate that there's threads of that throughout this entire record. If you're paying attention, I'm just so proud of you. This is such a great record.
Thank you so much. And I love that you're talking about that tree. I had somebody say to me the other day, because I think this record talks a lot about creation. I just think God leaves a trail of breadcrumbs all over creation for us. And somebody was like, you know, God grew that sycamore tree, whatever tree it was that he climbed. I just said, I mean, but like sycamore is in the scripture. So he planted that tree at that time and knew Zacchaeus would be right there and he'd be walking right by and he knew he'd be up in there. And I am a tree climber myself. I really still climb trees. Like, it's a practice in our family. I've like trained my kids how to do it as well. Like, we'd have like tree climbing technique. And I think that there is so much beauty around us that we sometimes do overlook. And so I love that you picked up on that detail. Canyon is the same way. There's so much beauty around us. It tells the story of how God loves us. So, if we pay attention, it literally can be a pivot, like a pivotal point, seeing beauty and seeing God see us, you know? And so I'm so grateful that you love that line.
Loved it.
And it makes me want to go climb a tree.
Ellie, once again, love you and your husband. Love the new record. Can't wait to hopefully see you on a stage sometime soon, okay?
Thanks, buddy. It's so good to talk with you today. Thanks for your time. Hey, tell your daughter I'm so proud of her and have an absolute blast. She's going to be awesome.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback. Write a review. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
Corey Mann, can I shake your hand? The man, myth, and the legend. Here he stands.
I don't know.
No tienes que esperar a que te paguen para finalmente invitar a tus papás a comer. Solo te tiene que salir una oferta de sus favoritos en el McDonald's app. Ahorra con el app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. En McDonald's participantes.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.